Hey there, Woo Crew, Cassidy here. We just want to thank you all for hanging in there while we took some weeks off. In the meantime, we invite you to enjoy this re-release of a very early episode called Space Tampons, featuring the awesome actor Amy Lizardo, and it's the episode that our amazing producer Desmond often suggests to people as a good starter episode if you've never heard us before. Here's your chance to spread the word. Share this episode with a friend and say, hey, you should check these guys out. Again, thank you all so much for your loyal listening, and keep sending in those emails and questions and comments to allanswerspod@gmail.com. We love you, Woo Crew. Enjoy Space Tampons.
Hi, podcast friends. Would you like to help All the Answers become very, very deeply, deeply, profoundly popular? You can do two very simple things for us today to make us incredibly fancy in the eyes of the world. Would you go to where you listen to us and just click on 5 stars? Give us a 5-star review, and you're going to make us very, very popular. Apparently, people who can support our podcast by giving us ads and such can't do so or won't do so until they see that we have like 50 bazillion 5-star reviews. So go to your local place that you're listening to our podcast and give us 5 stars. You don't even have to write words with your brain and hands. You just click the 5 stars. How easy is that? Also, check out patreon.com and search All the Answers Podcast. And there you can donate funds in small chunks that then will make you famous on the podcast. We have 3 different tiers of support. You can either get a shout out on the podcast regularly. You can come on the podcast. You can ask a question that where you won't have to be on the podcast, but your question gets answered on live air on the podcast, or various other gifts that we will give you for donating to us and helping us keep bringing you fantastic, sassy, irreverent, spiritually aware content. We love you. Patreon.com, All the Answers Podcast. And please give us that 5-star review today. It'll take you 36 seconds. We love you.
Welcome to that spiritual actual factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of cash. We laughing, we drafting the passion to vary. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listen, we traveling. Consciousness always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass me. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Everything you're saying is for dicks. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing, Katie Rubin?
I had 2 donuts for lunch, but there is a fancy donut place in town here that makes it where you pick the frosting flavor you want,
okay,
and the toppings.
Ooh.
And then a drizzle.
That's a bit much. I feel like my eyes would spin.
Oh, I'm in heaven. They're so good.
Yeah.
So good. But what that means, when I surrender to that and go like, fuck it, I'm having donuts for lunch, you know what that means? P-Town is on the way.
Really? You pee from donuts?
P-Town. No, that's called
poop. The poop kind.
No, that's urine town.
Right.
P-Town, period. Period town.
Oh, that's why, when you know that periods are coming, when you're like, I got to get that donut.
That's the thing. Because a lot of times I'll be like, I want a donut. And then I'm like, no, I fucking don't. I'm going to feel terrible after a donut. But if I go, we're having donuts, get out of my way to the donuts, then menstruation
knocking
is
people over.
Inevitable. Yeah, for sure.
Someone just shared with me a song that I think people should just go and look up because it was hilarious. But it brought up a story. Did you know that when they sent Sally Ride into space, the first female astronaut to go into space, 6 days in space was the thing, they gave her,
oh no,
100 tampons.
And
then
why?
They were like, hey, and apparently they tied them together in a bundle, like the strings. And the finest minds of our generation, NASA, rocket scientists, how does a body work?
Well, what are these lady people made of?
And like, also, maybe it's not even her period. Like, they just handed her a bag of 100.
100?
Yeah. I only have this on partial It was based on a song that someone sang to make a point about stupid people being stupid, about smart people being stupid. But I believe it was based on something that happened.
Interesting. I feel like if I'm a lady person, like I might be right now.
I think you are.
And I'm going to space. And I'm about to have my period. I'm probably covered. I've probably
You're probably packing.
Except I wonder if it had to be special space tampons.
Special space tampons.
Like, maybe there's, like, certain materials you can't have, like the plastic applicator.
Yeah.
I don't know. But back then, they didn't have a plastic applicator anyway. I got to say something. On this topic, I don't know how women in the 1970s and shortly thereafter did the tampon thing without the plastic applicator tip, the rounded tip. I don't know how you do that. Flat tip, dry insert. Can't do it.
You don't put like a little blob of thing on there?
Lube?
KY.
Ugh.
Which was like the standard, the industry standard back then.
Ugh, you want to lube up your tampon? Ugh.
Rather than a dry stuff.
I mean, maybe other ladies don't, I don't know, that or you're just fingering it up there on your own without an applicator at all, in which case I've just never enjoyed that either because you're going like,
and I kind of feel like that's what we've done to the listeners today is we've just like jammed it into their ear without any KY. Yeah. Like, here, deal with this conversation.
Well, welcome to this podcast.
Yeah, I think you've been here before.
I think you know who we are at this point.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, so I had two donuts. The dog went to a dog sitter house to visit the dog sitter house because tomorrow she may spend the night at a dog sitter house. I know, which is like very big for me.
Do you have a date? What's going on?
I'm actually going to see your friend in life's play.
Oh, cool. In Boston.
In Boston.
Nice.
And I could bring the dog and leave her there.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah. So she's probably going to go to the
dog. That's awesome. That's fantastic. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch a streaming version of it on Thursday.
Oh, cool. That's tomorrow.
Yeah. They shot a streaming version of it that's out of sync time-wise. So it doesn't matter. I might be watching it the same night that you're watching it, but I'll be watching it asynchronously as the kids say today.
Nice. Nice indeed. Yeah. So doing that, looking forward to that. Boy, I love that person, that Rami person.
Yeah. They're great.
I feel like this podcast is really just an excuse to talk about Rami.
Just love Rami. One of our first listeners, for sure.
That's right. We fit a few spiritual concepts in, but it's just around the Rami talk.
Totally. Will you be taking along 100 tampons?
Well,
since it's your P-Town time?
Since I'm driving.
Right. Any travel, 100 tampons, the 100 pack.
Like back in the days of camels. They had to have a special pocket in the camel saddle for the tampons. What do you think tampons were at that time?
It's rags.
I'm guessing,
in all like the ancient novels I've read, they're always like, a rag was stuffed into her undercarriage.
Oh.
No one said that.
You ever see Clan of the Cave Bear?
I'll be honest. I used to read the dirty parts of that book when I was younger as like my dirty part reading.
Yes. My best friend Tracy and I grew up watching that shit in large part to hear the dirty parts too.
Yeah.
Like the movie.
Yeah.
We had the, I wonder.
Did they have a rag stuffed in her undercarriage there?
I'm pretty sure. I think so. I think it was a strap of leather from the horse hide or cow hide or something. But I always remember, I can't believe I haven't talked to you about this before, but you ever like, you know, when you're a kid, or maybe this is just weird theater nerd kids, I would get a phrase stuck in my head from some piece of media and it would just be hilarious to us for weeks.
Sure.
We were obsessed with the intro narrator voice on that movie.
Uh-huh.
There was like a long ago in the land of wherever, women together, men, mammoths, nature, travel. And then dun dun dun, the clan of the cave bear.
I think you have told me that before. And it's so good. Someone forgot to keep their put on accent for just a second.
It was so, we were obsessed with it. We would rewind it and be like, what happened to our sort of not British accent? It went away for just a second.
Those are the magic moments of life when you've noticed something that no one else has noticed. And then you're like, is no one else noticing that she said, clan of the cave bear.
Like she's from Chicago now. or the Midwest somewhere.
Beer. We're in community here in this Cleon.
We're going to have beers after the bear does its clanning. I was just going to say, one of the things I miss most about theater is just stories like that. Like doing shows where like you get to have like fuck around time backstage and be like, last night when you looked at me and then I spit in the cup and I got spit on your face and I was totally going to break. Like that shit, that's what I live for.
100%. It's one of the reasons where like I've thought about doing more like a one-man show or solo theater. I'm saying, I don't want to do it.
No.
Like 50% of my experience is hanging backstage with like the crew member or whatever. That's cool also, but it's, you know, the smaller the,
it's not the same
group, the less of that energy you get.
I mean, there's just so many opportunities for like weird shit to go on.
Oh, I love it.
Like, I just think about, I
love it so much.
When we did, Fuck My Asshole. Oh, remember Fuck My Asshole when we did that show?
Which one? The jail one or
the couples?
The couples. Yep, that one. It was called by Peter
You
Noctree.
Mean to do me
Hunter
harm.
Gatherers. Oh, I was thinking of Hunter Gatherers when we had the good comedy in that one.
Oh, there was good shit all over that play. But no.
Well, we've been in some couples plays, some dysfunctional couples plays, you and me both.
We sure have. I got to murder a lady with a lamb shank or like mm-hmm. a chicken leg in the first one.
And I got to come to death in that play.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot about that.
Based on a head wound.
Noctree, if ever you listen to this, God bless you, sir, for your fucking maniac brain. I love
Peter the fuck Noctree.
The goddamn fucking Noctree. Didn't we talk to Noctree about the play at some point, you and I together?
Yeah, sure, but not on the podcast, which we could do. What?
Let's get Peter Noctree on here.
Look him up.
Holy shit.
I also got to do the other play, the Insurrectionist. Nope, the one about the elected official with Jamie Jones that we did it up at Cap Stage.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. I saw that. That was a ton of fun. Oh, I wanted to kill Jamie Jones just to play that fucking role.
You should
role.
Play that role, absolutely.
What's that play called? God damn it. The Argonauts.
Yep.
The Sistine Chapelites.
I'll look it up
remember.
While we talk.
Okay.
Anyway, what were you saying?
What I was going to say is in You Mean to Do Me Harm, Christopher Chen's incredibly genius play, every single night, I felt like I came close to breaking every night in our scenes. We played. Okay. So in this play, there were two couples, white lady married to an Asian man and white man married to an Asian lady. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassidy and I were the white people. And
appropriately so.
Yep.
So glad neither of us played the Asian part.
And there was a scene where we would walk the circle of the space or the square of the space on a sort of friend date that was mm-hmm. kind of flirtatious between
with
the two characters with coffee. Every night, because looking at your face so much, we were like right up close. It was a lot of close acting. There was just so much silly shit for me. Like, here's an example. I had lipstick on for the role and I would drink the coffee while we were talking and notice what lipstick shapes were happening on the cup and then want to talk to you about it. And then that would make me start to laugh because it's so dumb. You can't be thinking about that. I should be in the moment or whatever. And then it's like, oh, right, there's 200 people here. I can't show Cassidy my lip shape right now. Just stupid shit like that where you're pulled out of it. But for me, it's just so fun to get. I think what I love is like, it's that laughing in church thing. You're not supposed to do it. So it's just so much more fun when it, you know, and like that play too, I got to give props to Jomar. What's Jomar's last name?
Tag Attack.
Oh my God. That guy, we did some acting in that play. Like that scene where he and I sat across the table from each other. I think he's breaking up with me or I'm breaking up with him or he's calling me out on the cheating. I can't remember. It was a very intense, emotional scene. And we're across the table and he'd get to crying And it would get me to crying.
Yeah.
Every time, which was amazing because it set me up for, I had to like get up and go do a turn away from him face, like hide your face confession of the cheating and be like, I'm in a lot of pain. And I, every night I'd be like, well, I hope I get something near sadness, kind of. And his fucking acting would take my shit there.
Yeah. I mean, that tells you what a community experience it really should and can be at best. Like, is,
yeah,
sometimes you can't generate it yourself. And so you rely on the other person. And they may be thinking the same thing, like, oh, I wasn't feeling it until I looked in your eyes. Or maybe some actors also can just be like, got it. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Those fuckers. I heard Thandie Newton once say, some interviewer said to her, like, how do you get the crying all that? You do a lot of crying characters. And she was like, I know it's a thing with me. I always have, she said, pretty much every emotion is sitting there just right behind my eyes all the time.
Nice.
So she said, I could just pull it up. And I'm like, huh, I think I actually used to feel more that way when I was younger. And now I'm just dead inside, Cassidy. I'm just charcoal.
Or less wounded, so less volatile with those emotions. Another option.
That's another option. But like, Thandie Newton doesn't seem wounded to me. She seems like just like a fucking, we don't know. But she's just, it's like, maybe she's just good at that thing and isn't all fucked up.
Something that a theater maker that we both respect said to me once, Mark Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I was going into an audition for a show that transformed my life. It was this play called The Death of Meyerhold. I may have told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. And we were going into like the third audition. I don't think I've ever auditioned as much for a role as this one. Like, I went to like four callbacks. You know, because he just wanted to make sure, because it's a really important play. This is a play that really changed the landscape of a theater company, of the Shotgun Players, like put them on the map in a different way, put me on the map in a different way.
Yeah.
But going into this process, Mark had written this epic play about this theater maker, Russian theater maker named Meyerhold. And the role, the scene he had me finally auditioning with was this like begging for your literal life scene where you had to be like, pissing yourself and crying and any feeling of like the absolute basest you've ever been. And I said to him walking in, I said, I'm not one of those actors who could just cry on command, but I can fake it pretty good. And he looked at me with such that sort of like,
I remember this story.
And he just goes, good. Because most of the time you have to.
Right. That's your job. You're pretending.
That's your fucking job. But it was such a permission.
Yeah.
And it's actually removed. This is that weird psychological thing that happens, I think, in acting. When you take away the pressure to achieve that, you're more likely to achieve that.
Oh, every time.
If you don't say, I'm going to do this thing and cry. Instead, you just go, be present, feel it.
We'll see. Yep.
Maybe I'll cry. Maybe I won't. That's, you're more likely to cry. As soon as you start trying, you go like,
No. That's why I was able to be affected by Jomar Tag Attack every night. Tag Attack? Is that his name?
Tag Attack.
God damn it.
I'm pretty sure.
Because I feel like,
please correct us.
Like, I feel like in a way I'm going, it's a tag attack. Like I'm being attacked by a tag, and that feels so funny. It can't be right. But I'm saying it wrong. I don't know what's happening.
I love that we're having this conversation today because our guest that's coming on in just a sec
is
an awesome actor that we both love named Amy Lizardo. Amy's going to be showing up in a few minutes now.
I'm ready.
And we're going to be talking to Amy.
No, I can't fucking wait because Amy is like a badass motherfucker who, am I correct? Well, we'll ask Amy when they come.
I think that's her title, actually.
Badass motherfucker. But is Amy working currently or recently? Recently, Amy worked at Oregon Shakes.
Yeah, Amy's sort of a resident artist there now at this point, I think. Did at least one, if not two seasons. And then there was a season where nothing happened during the 2020, you know, that whole thing. You've heard of it.
Nah. And what's happening?
And I think they're doing the next, she's doing the next show that they're opening,
That's so killer.
Yeah, and probably doing stuff beyond that.
I have the tackiest question. I'm going to ask you first and then Amy. What is the contract there?
I have no idea. It's
like $1,100 a week.
Yeah, I think it's only like $1,000, $1,100. I don't think it's the like Broadway level of like $2,200.
Can I just tell you on that point? It's on my mind because I've been submitting through Backstage, which is so funny. Like when I was in my 20s, I thought I was so superior to Backstage. And now I'm like, yeah, bring it Backstage.
Whatever you got.
Also, Backstage is like so like prolific. There's so much information and it's all online now.
Yep.
And every day there's 500 things and it's fucking great. Anyway, there was a posting the other day for Broadway, a Broadway something. Wait. Really cheesy And but they didn't have, it was like, wait, let me, I just saw it. I can't think of it. It was like Snowflake the Skunk, you know, some Disney goofy, right. Doesn't look great. And it said like pay TBD. And I was like, oh, fuck this. So I just like made note of it because it kind of, there were fun characters. And I thought, well, shit, if it's Broadway and blah, blah, blah. But like maybe it's some kind of non-equity thing. So it's not going to be any money. Anyway, it was posted again today and the pay was listed and it was $2,200 a week.
Yeah, that's, I think, Broadway scale.
Which it used to be $1,700 a week was the scale.
Yeah, it's gone up.
I'm just so happy about that. But anyway, I was a little blown.
To be Snowflake the Skunk?
I'm gonna. Wait, let me look at it.
Amy's here, by the way. We can let her in anytime.
Let's let her in.
Right at letting in Amy.
But what I want to say about that for the listener is just that what you have to understand is in acting world, on the stage, that's like insane amounts of money, which is, it shouldn't be. It should always be that. But that's not what we usually get paid.
We're talking about pay scale in
Amy
theater.
Amy Lizardo!
Pay scale in theater. What a conversation.
Oh, you sound fantastic. So good to see your face.
So good to see you.
Amy freaking Lizardo, how the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm in Ashland right now. I will be here until 3 a.m. when I drive back to San Francisco. So that way I can record the fourth episode of Pericles, which I'm doing with SF Shakes. And that goes on for another couple of weeks. And then I come back to Ashland to start work again, y'all.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Are you working on that Christmas Carol show? Is that what you're doing?
I am the one with the dinosaur.
Here's my question. Why do you have to record? Why do you have to drive somewhere to record? Can't you just
they want me in an OSO. So I'm here in Ashland to record here as well. So I'll be doing that tonight at 7:30. I had a couple days off. I had, you know, my where I live is in Ashland, where my dog is or my partner is. So they preferred me recording something on an OSF stage in an OSF space. Uh-huh. So I'm recording a song tonight, doing a live recording of our in public performance of Pericles tomorrow.
And then are you staying over the weekend to do the show, to perform?
I'm staying through October 10th to do the show.
Yeah. Oh, to do the show. I see. I couldn't understand right now. Yeah. Why they wanted you to record something from there if you just record it.
Yeah.
From far away.
No, it's an actual recording of a live performance, y'all.
Rock on, Amy Lizardo. Yeah. All the acting jobs. Doing them all. You're doing it. And how, doing well... It. I don't know if I can ask. Can I ask how it is? Like, how can you answer the question if we say, how is it working in Ashland for you?
In Ashland, absolutely. You can always ask that question. What is it? I used to be a shift supervisor, and they technically can't, when somebody's calling to hire you, they can't technically be like, yo, were they a jerk? Were they the worst? So just FYI, I love working in Ashland.
You can only say they were on time. Here is their, or you can state facts about their employment. And that's it.
What I'm, yeah. Right. So I'm assuming we want to be careful on that front, but I don't know what you're willing to say.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm not speaking for everyone who has ever worked at OSF, of course. It is definitely my jam. It's professional theater at its best. I've loved the people I've worked with. Of course, I have worked here as an actor for one season. So who knows what the next season will hold or the next show. You know, you work with different people. But I thoroughly love the community. I grew up in a small town in the Central Valley. And so it reminds me of that if a giant Shakespeare festival was plummeted in the middle of it. Huh. So then you have not only the town folk and the older Bay Area retirees, which there are a lot of in Ashland, but the work that we actually do is nothing but city folks. So you have that beautiful like juxtaposition of, yeah, it's real slow at the Rite Aid, but you know, it's always popping. You go down to that the Starbucks, they're slow too, but you're going to run into actors and producers and a designer you haven't seen since you worked with them, blah, blah, blah ago. So it's really, it fits me really well. And
that's
I really,
fantastic.
Really like it.
And to that point, did you always want to be an actor when you were a kid?
I wanted to be a performer. I sang at my first wedding when I was 9 and I got an applause and I was like, this is it. This is the whole thing. This is life. And so I've been doing it ever since. I did choir and I was a singer first. And then in high school, my freshman year, I did Much Ado About Nothing, went to an audition with a friend and then have this loud voice and I'm a singer. So they got it. And then I was actually going to be a biomed major in college, but my grades were not quite good enough in science. So they were like, welcome to this program, but we're going to put you on a wait list. Come to our school, do your secondary major, which happened to be theater. And I took my first like real acting class. And I was like, that's it. This is what I'm doing. I was not cast a bunch in undergrad. And so part of me was like, well, maybe this isn't for me. You know, unfortunately, I love my undergrad, but unfortunately they cast the same folks all the time, usually white male, white female, super thin and, you know, all of the things. And I am short, stocky and brown. And so I was in a couple shows where I was a hairdresser. And I was a, those people that they used to have, I don't even know if they do it anymore, but kind of like in the, like a closet for, that was also a bathroom. It was called the play called The Women. So I played a lot of like serving type folks. Yeah. And then I replaced a couple people in other shows throughout the, I was there for 4.5 years. And afterwards, unfortunately, I was like, maybe I shouldn't be an actor. Maybe the professional life isn't for me because even in college, nothing's happening. Fortunately, I decided to continue with school and got my master's MA at San Jose State. And there, having a very full and diverse students, one of the first they did Mummified Deer by Luis Valdez, and who is an alumni of San Jose State. And in that process of a program where I was supposed to be doing mostly research and theory, I ended up doing a bunch of acting, and like, I was supposed to be done in 2 years. I was done in 4 because I was doing so much performing I feel so fortunate that I went there because it actually was like, no, you should be doing this. You love it. You love theater. You love performing. You should be doing this. And so yeah, yes. And other pockets of things.
Makes sense.
Other distractions.
I'm going to ask you I'm going to left turn it for a second because I'm dying to know, and you and I might've talked about this that time. Why did you and I wind up in a car? Well, where were we going? Was I gave you a ride from us. Where were we?
We were reading The Taming.
Oh, right. At Cassidy's place.
Yeah. And it was right when pandemic conversation was even happening.
Yeah.
And you dropped me off at a BART station, which I then took a bus to a thing and then was going to drive to Ashland to start my season. But then everything went away and crumbled. But just for a moment, rebuilding.
Yeah. The whole, you know what? The Wi-Fi is doing something weird. I'm going to turn my camera off for a second, but I'm still here because you're freezing on me. So it's probably my Wi-Fi, but I'm just going to turn that off.
It might also be me though. I can move to another spot that is closer to my modem and it's still a quiet space. What are the answers? All right, I'm back.
So on that drive, I feel like I might've asked you this already, but maybe not. And I can't remember the answer. Are you into astrology at all?
Yes, but I wouldn't say that I have a lot of knowledge about it. So I'm fascinated with apparently I'm a Virgo sun, Capricorn moon and Capricorn rising. So I'm all earth.
Jesus. Well, that was why I was asking is because I was like, I have to know this woman's astrology right now. Because listening to you talk, I'm just going, what is it? I like really wanted to know. Cool. Triple Earth. Wow.
Triple Earth.
You're lucky from my perspective.
What does that mean?
Well, so I have zero Earth in my chart. So for folks who don't know, a chart has 12 houses and 12 planets. So the planets can be in any relationship to all 12 planets could be anywhere in any of all 12 houses. So there's a lot of permutations of a lot of different things going on. And the things we talk about culturally, socially are like just these three main first things people look at, sun, moon, and rising. So the sun is the personality or the ego. The moon is the inner emotional life. And the rising is the sort of the ambassador sign, like what you greet the world with, the first energy that comes across. And the so having Earth in those three placements, you live on a planet called Earth. So when you have a bunch of Earth signs, it's your, I always experience it like you're set up really well to do well on Earth. Like you're good with the rules of Earth. Earth things make sense to you. Call the person back, be at the birthday, have that person's back, love people. Like you just do stuff that the Earth people do. Whereas those of us with like Aquarius sun, Pisces moon, Sag rising, and zero Earth anywhere else in all those permutations, I am not from here. So people have to say, tell me to do things that are just very obvious to Capricorn, Virgo, Capricorn people. So I just, whenever I'm not surprised that I asked you, given what you just said, because I'm like, this is an animal who functions differently and I love it. And I'm so envious of Earth energy. So another thing about Virgo that's interesting is like, and that Virgo Capricorn combo, you're so lucky if that's correct, because Virgo is very tidy, very organized, systems, organization, tidy, categories, spreadsheets. And then Capricorn is like home, family, money, work, but mostly work. They're all about work, 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 work. So if you have like moon Capricorn and rising Capricorn, you've got that on two sides of your sun. And the sun is Virgo, which is like organized, tidy, get it in control. You're not going to be all over the place. You're not going to be spacey. You're never going to be, you know, you're just going to handle shit. Anyway,
does that track for you? Are you a shit handler?
I am a shit handler. This is true. I'm not always tidy, but it never lasts. The mess never lasts for very long.
Well, you know tidy, what I mean? In my mind, just means like wherever the Virgo-ness gets directed. It may not be to your environment, but like, like Virgo are the people you want to be like. So if we're going to, I don't know, have a car wash, how much soap should we bring? Who's doing what? What time should we be there? And who's in charge of taking care of the numbers and running the numbers at the end? And a Virgo would go insane if people were like, I don't know, we'll just figure it out. A Virgo would be like, no, we won't. We have a plan, motherfucker.
Sounds about right. Sounds exactly right, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I can report even like setting up this interview today. I was like last minute. I messaged Amy. You got right back to me. You asked a time-based question. How long will it last and when will I be done? I said, this is the thing. You said, great, I can do it. That was it. We were done. Like there was no. And then Katie sent the Zoom link. And didn't send the Zoom link. It was just a nice email going, wee, this is going to be fun. But there was no Zoom link involved. And then, but then Amy right away, she said, excellent.
Immediately.
Can I please have the Zoom link?
Yeah. You know. Yeah, excellent. There was no Zoom link included. And I'm like, oh, my bad. I send the Zoom link. Then it's like, excellent. Do you need me at 3 or 3:20? 3:20, ma'am. Yes. Zero. Great. Thank you.
It's handled.
Which, seriously, like, Cassidy, maybe more than anyone in my life, can speak very clearly to how I'm telling you that getting times correct. Poor Cassidy Brown.
I'm laughing. I'm almost crying.
You should cry. This is how it is, Amy. This is how not. It's mysterious because I'm a smart lady, so I know what to do and how to do it. But I will do what normal people do. And it doesn't happen. Like I'll go, I can't even explain it. Like we'll say we're doing the podcast at 3 on a Thursday. And then I write it in, I swear to God, for three on Thursday. And then my calendar has it in on Tuesday at noon. And I'm there like, why aren't these guys here? And they're like, we're not today, Katie, you set it up. And I'll be like, but I wrote it down. All the time this happens. And this is with me trying hard. I'm not flaky about it either. I'm not like, whatever, I don't care. Let's just figure it out, roll with it. I hate that shit. I'm like, no, let's handle it and be clear. But I'm always wrong. Always wrong. And always just get it wrong with dates and times specifically. And if you look at that astrologically, that is Neptune and that is Pisces. And I have Pisces moon and I'm Aquarius cusp Pisces in the sun position. So there's a lot of Pisces in my chart. It's there. It's gonna happen, which doesn't make the people in your life any happier.
Yeah. Amy, how do you react to that sort of behavior? Behavior isn't the right word. Patterns.
From other people?
Yeah.
I spent a good after college, I spent a bit of my time as a production assistant and stage manager, and it fits me really well. So when folks are in, I understand that, and I'm able to work with that in a very non like kind of way, unless it happens. And probably with you, Katie, I'd be like, Katie, again, like things like 10 a.m. on the daily, right? So call is 10 a.m. every single day. And then someone's consistently always, even as an actor, I'm like, why? Why? The first week, yes, I get it. But now we're on week three. Why? Why? So I feel like I'm pretty good with it. And then I sometimes get to a point where I'm like, and that's about it. That's the worst of it, though.
My sound just fully evaporated and I couldn't hear you guys for a bunch of seconds, but now I seem to be back. This is wacky.
You're back. I heard everything Amy said. It'll be brilliant when you hear it on the podcast.
Great.
But now you're freezing up. So it is your Wi-Fi, Katie.
I'm freezing?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to turn the video off. How are we now?
Sounds good.
Okay. So what I wanted to add. So anyway, that's not as an excuse, but it is something that I have to tell people because I need people to understand I'm working hard and still failing. Anyway, that's my long-winded way of explaining all that. But I want to know if you're open to talking about this, what is the story of this tattoo on your left shoulder?
This one?
Uh-huh.
So I have become obsessed with tattoos since I got my first one in 2016. Which is my little treble clef / bass clef. I got it in New Orleans at an all-female tattoo parlor, female-owned and female-run. But since then, I've gotten I have 16 or 17 tattoos all over.
Mm.
A lot of them are very nerdy. Like I have a Shakespeare quote for my favorite monologue on this side. I have on that, which is my right lower back. I have memories of plays that I've done, like Quijote Nuevo. Art director KJ Sanchez would always say never less. So she wasn't like, oh, brilliant, that's where I want you. She's always say never less. And I was like, I like that a lot. That quote is going on my body. So this one is little cat prints going down my left arm. And then my cat Angel, who is a terror and also a lovely cat. She's laying down on the floor right now. She's a blue Russian. And apparently blue Russians don't like to move, like physically move out of their environment at all. So she's become more and more insane as the years have gone by. And that's okay.
What kind of insane?
Like running around, meowing at nothingness and just freaking out at everything. And there's a lot of like movement, 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 stillness. Looks at you, movement, 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 stillness, and just things that I've never heard come out of a cat's mouth before. Like, it's like an NG sound. And it's like, and so it sounds like she's in heat, but she's fixed and she's sitting there and she's making those noises. So.
You ever hear the cat noise that sounds like a lot of really fast little clicks? The
no,
clicking?
I don't think so.
When they stare out a window at birds, that like a hunting instinct kicks in and they go, it's insane.
No, I've never heard that before. I did see a video of a cat mimicking a dog, like barking. Ooh. And then they got caught and they were like, I don't know what you just saw.
Huh. Cats are What's your amazing. Favorite tattoo on your body?
That's a good question. Probably I have a little elephant on my back that is in remembrance of my godmother who passed away in 2018. She passed away in February, just before her birthday in 2018. And she loved elephants. She never went anywhere out of the country. She was illiterate, but she raised me and my sisters while my mom and dad worked full time.
Hmm.
And so my sisters and I all decided on getting like a remembrance tattoo of her. So I got a little elephant that with a rose, her name was Rosie. So with a rose coming out of its, you know, its honker. Honker is what it's called now.
Great.
So, it's drunk. That's probably my favorite. Yeah.
That makes sense. And this is a terrible segue, but what is I assume you know, do you know the sort of premise of this podcast?
A little bit. I listened to a little bit of what Cassidy sent me, but I would love to hear more.
Well, the only reason I ask is because I want to ask you, like, what is your relationship to spirituality, if there is mm-hmm. one, and what that word means to you? Because what we do on here is Cassidy and I be ridiculous comedically, and then we have a guest on, and I open their Akashic records because I'm an energy healer, mm-hmm. and then we get answers and guidance and healing for the person who comes on, or sometimes we don't do that, but it's comedy and spirituality together. And so I'm always curious when folks come on, what does that word mean to you? And does it have a role in your life?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, spirituality and religion for a full part of my childhood were one and the same, right? If you're spiritual, therefore you are religious, and therefore that is what you are. I grew up Catholic, Mexican Catholic, saying at weddings as a high schooler to make extra money. That was my side hustle, weddings and funerals and rosaries. I've always been very connected to the ritualistic style of that practice in particular. And the moments of feeling as if this cycle of every Sunday was, and the music combined with that, was cleansing and opening my heart and making me feel a certain kind of way. What that kind of way is, I don't know, but making me feel special, even with the knowledge of the problematic nature of a certain man-made religious construct. In college, my double major was in theater and religious studies.
Oh.
And I focused, so I got the whole plateful of every religion, Eastern religions, Western religions, cults, all kinds of things. And then the funny thing is, a lot of what I learned was that the folks who would start to study religion, not theology, but religion, often then separated themselves from the religious practices that they would be a part of beforehand. And I found mm-hmm. that as well. I was no longer a practicing member of the Catholic Church. Not that I disowned it, not that I didn't love the music and the ritual of it. It's just that, oh, now I understand the spiritual construct of all of these different forms of being trying to understand what humanity is and why we are here. And I remember I had a seminar, and a big light bulb went off, and I was like, religion feels like it is man-made for us to figure out why we are here and what happens to us when we close our eyes for the last time. That to me, whereas spirituality, on the other hand, was this idea of we as a humankind, as a society, mankind, whatever, are all a part of the same force. And for me, that has helped me to realize the really important things are not necessarily going to rosary or necessarily going to go tell the priest what you did wrong, like cuss or whatever, but the kindness and the respect and the understanding and the empathy toward our fellow man mm-hmm. feels like it is a way in which all of us come together and can be a better world. And that for me is that spirit. And then I overthink, I overanalyze all the time. My graduate degree was about taking a tantric Buddhist practice and turning it into an acting exercise for the individual actor. But yeah, so long story short, spirituality has been a part of my studying and just a part of like the way I see the world and, you know, think about the spirit as well. Who makes us who we are, and how many cycles what number cycle am I in right now?
Hmm.
What was my last turnaround? What will be the next?
And how does it influence your choices in your present day life, or your, I don't know, your life decisions, or like, what role does it, spirituality, not necessarily religion, but also maybe religion mm-hmm. too? What role does it play in your current day life? How does that fit in?
I feel like it fits in that the spirit, and I think the empath part of Siri thought that I was asking for them, and I was not.
Yeah.
maybe I was, Siri. But the empathetic nature of us all, and then in turn, our spirit and our spirituality, I think is really important in how I construct myself on a day-to-day work, people-related, you know, world. In that, my first thing, and like, I'm going to go with rehearsal because I feel like that's most of my time, is not to poo-poo what is happening, but to be like, what are we doing as a whole? What are these people, these spirits, these souls that are in this room doing? Oh, we're creating art. Okay, why is this one human having a really tough time? What can I do? What can we do? What can to make that unity whole again? And to make it one concrete or unified, unified's a better way, thing. And to also not forget that we are on, I don't want to speak for everybody, I am on this earth to live out my best days and my best life. Like, I've almost died like 4 or 5 times because of medical things. And every, you know, there are some days when we all suffer from, not all of us, but a lot of us suffer from bouts of depression and sadness. And that, again, I think has to do with our nature and our spirituality and what our souls are saying to us at that moment. But I, when I had my first open heart surgery, I was like, I'm going to do what my soul is telling me to do. And that is art. And that is theater. And that's what I want to do. And when I go into a room, I want it to be the best show or best song or best thing ever. But I also want it to be fulfilling to me and fulfilling my, myself and the group that, that is here. So I think that that answers your question, kind of.
I love all of that. Can you tell us at all, and unless you sort of hate this topic at this point, but can you tell us a little bit about when you say you almost died 4 or 5 times?
Sure. Yeah. So when I was 2, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and my blood sugar, a normal human's blood sugar is 90 to 110. And I was put into the hospital with a 500. I had lost 7 pounds and I was 2. So I was only weighing like 35. So I lost 7 pounds, started wetting the bed, even though I was potty trained. I was about to say house trained. Potty trained since I was also a husband, you know, 1.5, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then I got submitted into the hospital or put into the hospital. And they told my mother this, who's like 27 years old. And I'm like, I can't, when I was 27, I was like, I don't even imagine having children. Oh my God, that would be so stressful. And then I've gone in all through my childhood in and out of diabetic comas.
Jeez.
Because of low blood sugar. Yeah. When I was 16, my pump malfunctioned and I was in a coma for 8 hours, just, you know, small things like that. And then when I, after my freshman year of college, I got really sick. I got a lung infection my freshman year, and then I never really got better. And so I lost a bunch of weight, didn't know what was happening. And I was like, this is great, except I can't even eat a bowl of soup without vomiting. Mm. And so finally I went to like a health center and they were like, oh, you just stop eating spicy foods. And I was like, that doesn't make sense in my culture. That's ridiculous. I think that was really, then finally went to the ER, because I wasn't getting any better. I'm like, maybe I have asthma. Like, I can't really breathe either. They took an x-ray of my chest and it turned out that my heart was about 3 times the size of the size in which your heart should be. And
what?
It was pressing against my stomach. It's ridiculous. Pressing against my stomach and pressing against my lungs. And in that process, a valve, my mitral valve broke and they checked to see if they could repair it or replace it. It turned out they needed to replace it. And so they did. And I missed a quarter.
They just ordered a replacement part from Sony. I mean, what?
So, totally did. A tissue valve from a pig, but yes.
Okay. Sony the pig provided a valve.
Sony the pig provided a valve. They replaced it. It has a, like a shelf life of 10 to 15 years, cut to 16 years later. Which was only 4 years ago now. And I, yeah, I had to have surgery again. And so now I have a mechanical valve.
What?
So I am officially a cyborg.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The most recent surgery, did that happen because a thing you were like walking down the street and suddenly you started to hurt? Or was it more like they were like, hey, it's time, TikTok, come on in?
Well, so all from the first one to the most recent one, I would get EKGs and what are called echocardiograms, which is essentially like getting a, like when they look at the baby in the tummy, but it's your chest.
Yeah.
So I did that for years and years. And then in 2016, the end of 2016, they did that and they're like, let's do a stress test. And I was like, okay. And then what I noticed on my body is that things just started swelling up. Like my ankles started to swell and my wrists, and it was harder to breathe. And it was because the valve was starting to fail. And my body was trying to be like, no, whatever you are, keep making her body work.
Wow.
So that's what happened. And that all of that was found out in like January. I had my surgery in May. had a reaction to that because my body was like, what is this new mechanical valve? And I had to go back into the hospital where they did this thing. Okay, ready?
I'm not ready.
I'm ready. Bring it. Do it. Katie, cover your ears.
I'm uncomfortable.
They put essentially a straw in my back. My lungs had not been filled with fluid, but fluid had gathered around my lungs because my body, the reason I have diabetes and the reason I have other like Graves' disease is my body gets really overly excited, kind of like me, when there's a problem. So when I had a pneumonia or I had a flu when I was 2, my body's like, yeah, flu is gone. Also, let's attack that pancreas. So when I had my valve replaced, the second one, my body was like, ooh, what is this? Attack that valve. Also fill her lungs around her lungs with tons of fluid because we're going to need it. So I didn't need it. And my and so I had to get a pulmonary something. They put made a little hole in my back and put a straw and used the power of gravity to get 3 liters of fluid
and you
out
were
of my back.
Fully conscious and just fully watching. Yeah. No, I was joking. Yeah, yes.
No, I was fully conscious. They numbed where they poked the hole, but I was fully conscious. Yes.
Wait. When they numb where they poked the hole, that's the surface, though. Did you feel the
fluid coming out? I felt the fluid coming out. Yeah,
but was it painful? The whole penetration?
It wasn't. No, the prick and the straw in there was not painful at all. It was an uncomfortable feeling. I wouldn't even say it was painful. It was just like an uncomfortable. My breath was getting restored, if you can think about that too, because the pressure was being taken off. So it was just more uncomfortable than anything else. So,
okay. Fuck. First of all, fucking what? Jesus Christ. That's on the cross.
The intelligent response. I just want to say one thing. Fuck.
Exactly. Number two. That's number one. Number two. Coming out of those experiences, how would you articulate what those experiences did to your sense of purpose in life? And like, you know, a lot of people come out of stuff like that and they're like, I'm gonna go for it. Fuck everything. We're gonna die tomorrow. And other people come out and they go like, I'm gonna be careful as fuck now and never leave my house. Like, what did it do for you spiritually? And what did it do for you practically? Like,
I think that it definitely made it so that I realized that I needed to do what I wanted to do. Hmm. I needed to stop I did well in school. I was a smart kid. I mean, as all of us, most theater folks are, I think those that are successful and work well and learn the text and understand and like, we love that. I love that stuff at least. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so a part of me was like, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I know I won't necessarily make a ton of money and that's okay. But what I love is this art form. And I love it in every capacity, not just acting. I love the production side of it. I love the teaching side of it. And so really coming out of the first open heart surgery was a big life lesson. I was like, screw this biomed thing. I'm sure having the knowledge is great, but I love theater. I want to do theater. I want to practice it. I want to sing. I want to do this art that I am good at and I could get better at. Another thing is though, that I tend to not take relationships in general, nor the type of work I have for granted. Everything is special, no matter if it's the smallest little project that pays me $20 or a big grand thing that's paying me a couple grand a week. I mean, I'm still looking for that one, but I'm not taking none of it for granted because everyone in this room has worked so hard and gone through that their own process of life.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that term. I can never remember what it's called, but like every single person you meet has their own full-fledged story of everything they've gone through and all of their lives happening as you just pass each other on the street. And I don't know why I've been thinking about that a lot today, but yeah, it affected me in that I was like, I'm going to do what I want. Not like I'm going to go rob a supermarket or whatever, but I'm going to do what I love. I'm going to love who I love. And I'm also going to treat people with all the kindness in the world. Cause we are all, you know, we are all blessed and fortunate to be here at this moment, at this time. So might as well run with it.
Wow. Fucking A. This is dark, what I'm going to say. I'm like, maybe I need a weird surgery.
Katie needs a near-death experience to re-engage her with life.
Just kidding, universe. Just kidding. No, I don't need
don't
it. Thank
speak
you.
Those words.
Cancel, cancel. Wow. I'm a little bit blown away. Really, truly. It's very moving and inspiring. Oh, my God. Cassidy, did you... I have other questions, but I thought maybe
I was just going to say, we got about a half hour left, and I'm just letting you know on that. And I think, I mean, I would be super interested if Amy is to do some questions, if Amy's down to get into the records. But that's, I just want to put that plug in.
So, Amy, do you want me to open your Akashic records and you can ask God a bunch of questions and I'll channel
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I love that answer. Like, why wouldn't I? Some don't. Well, we've had some people like, no, thank you. This is awesome, but I don't want to get in there.
Yeah. All right, cool. In that case, I need, Amy, your full legal name, the name that shows up on your driver's license.
Amy Lizardo Ryan.
Okay. So the stage name is the middle name?
The stage name is the maiden name.
Oh, so you're married?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. Married to a human mammal or like...
Another robot?
To like a parrot?
A human mammal, not a robot, but a Greg.
A Greg.
Ah, okay. The way this will go down, if you're cool with this, Amy, is we will collectively kind of close our eyes. I'll take us through a really short, simple little guided meditation. You'll hear me say the Akashic Records prayer with your name in it. And then I'll probably keep my eyes closed because that's still how I roll. And then I'll let you know when they're open and you can ask anything and everything. And the more specific the question, the better. So nothing is off the table. Sometimes what happens is the response to a question might be some healing work, or the response to a question might be guidance in the form of words. And I never know. We just have to wait and see what comes. So hooray. Let's do this. I feel like you got through. We had guest drama today and you jumped in and saved our asses last minute. And I feel like you're jumping into the deep end of the pool really quick in many ways. So thank you for rolling with us.
Of course.
It's like, hi, tell us your entire life story. Also, what do you think about God? Also, do you want to talk to it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So let's close our eyes just for a moment. And we'll do some of that theater low belly breathing we're all trained to do. And we'll just drop into a nice deeper connection with our breath. Deepening the breath all the way into the pelvic floor, if possible. And we'll feel both feet flat on the ground. And as we breathe low in the body, relaxing the shoulders and the chest, we're going to consciously allow the midline of your body, the center of your being, from the base of your spine up through the middle of you, all the way to the crown of your head, to soften, open, relax. Next step is we're going to feel into the bottoms of each foot. We're going to visualize a little spinning foot chakra there at the bottom center of each foot, spinning open like a little hurricane or a little tornado of light. At the bottom center of each foot. And as those foot chakras or those little spinning tornadoes begin to spin open at the bottom center of each foot, just through your imagination and the power of your intention, we're going to see them expanding wider and wider until eventually the entire surface area of the bottom of each foot is an open field of light, like an open window. And we'll say that this open window allows the electromagnetic field of your body to commune more directly with the electromagnetic field of the earth below you. And as we anchor into that connection, we're going to visualize now as if your entire body, being, soul, spirit is a tree of light. We're going to imagine that some of the essence of you extends in the form of tree roots through the bottom of each foot, So we're going to imagine, see, visualize, allow there to be 500 energetic tree roots of light extending from your left, through your left foot, from your being, and 500 energetic tree roots of light extending through your right foot, from your being, hundreds of miles down into the earth. We'll just really visualize those light-based tree roots really anchoring hundreds of miles down and in, down and left, down and right, down and down. Yep. And then next step, we're going to see a grounding cord, a tunnel, a tube, shooting from the base of your spine, made of light, made of consciousness, about a foot and a half wide, big, wide grounding tube, tunnel, grounding cord, shooting to the center of the earth. And right when it hits the center of the earth, it gets there instantaneously, begins to receive up through it a river of divine light that flows into it from Sophia Gaia, the soul of this planet. We're going to feel that river of light flowing up through the grounding cord into the root chakra, flowing forward into each hip socket. It's going to flow down each leg into the glutes and the quads and the hamstrings, the knees, the calves, the shins, the ankles and feet. And we're going to see that river of light rush down into those roots we established moments ago. Anchoring us into a tripod grounding, into having a tripod grounding structure of light below you. The grounding cord connected to the roots through the legs. I mean. Okay, and from here, we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness. Amen. And direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Amy Lizardo Ryan in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Amy Lizardo Ryan through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Amy Lizardo Ryan have for Amy Lizardo Ryan. And I'm gonna go quiet for just a moment. Okay, cool. And of course, I said I was going to have my eyes closed, and now I can't close them. And I do have a bunch of info coming in right away for you, which is so interesting. That, are you familiar, Amy, at all with the concept of a star being? Does that mean anything to you?
I've heard that before.
So there's like these nations of beings in the galaxy and the cosmos, many of which or whom are communicating quite directly with planet Earth right now in as a part of the upleveling of the consciousness of the planet, which then in turn has an effect on the upleveling of the consciousness of the people on the planet. Examples of these are the Sirian beings, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Lyrans, the Lemurians, who are very popular there on Mount Shasta. The Mintakans, there's all kinds of light beings. Okay, I actually have a class called Star Beings on Mondays. That in that class, what I do each time is channel all the star nations, the light that they are, the light that they have to contribute to humanity for the sake of healing and activating the people in the class. So why am I talking about this? You are the most star being-y star being I've run into in a while, in the sense that like, your field, your consciousness, your you is so bright and light, but it's a kind of light that's like potent and light at the same time. So I'll give you an example. The Sirians, the frequency they tend to carry is like bright red, fire, power, truth, clarity. Whereas, for example, the Arcturians, I experience them more like warm, love, fuzzy bunny slippers, hugs, you know, couch, soft blanket. Okay, and both of those energies obviously have their value and have their place. Okay, so I'm experiencing you. my goodness, so bright that I kind of have to know what your star family is, if you don't mind me asking. Do you mind me asking?
I don't even know if I know.
No, I'm gonna ask them.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, so, all right, so she's got some Pleiadian, Sirian, not Arcturian, Pleiadian, Sirian, Mintaken, no, Orion, yeah. See, this feels very much like the Orion frequency I know. Okay, we'll come back to that. Pleiadian, Sirian, Orion, Lyran, Lemurian, any others? No, okay, all right. So this means that, and we'll talk about how this is relevant in a second, and then I want to hear your questions, but this means you've either spent lifetimes in each of those dimensions, or you could say on each of those planets, or is that, yeah, so that's what that is. You've spent a bunch of lifetimes on each of those planets and as each of those types of being, and you sort of like volunteered, as it were, to take human form this time around, which is, in the galaxy, it's considered a pretty bold and brave move to take this form, because those guys are much more advanced than we are. So when you come into this form, advanced meaning they've evolved past like bodies and blood vessels and cut your knee if you fall down kind of paradigms, eat food and it turns to shit and then you shit it out and it goes on the ground. They're much more like light bodied, right? And they have much more sophisticated consciousness and sophisticated technology. So there are a lot of us on the planet right now, star beings, as it were, in human form, who came here with an agreement to, or more than one agreement, to facilitate, okay, to wake the people up, to bring light consciousness to the earth. Now, some people, as has been written about in many books, do this in a direct way, like you make a class called Star Beings and invite people to it, and you're doing direct star stuff. But some people just be the star energy that they are in different contexts, and that's what you're up to. You're making art and you're shining this fucking light and this frequency near people, at people, in front of people, almost like as an invitation for people, human beings, to look at what's possible and to look at what if you didn't hide, is what your being says. Your being says, I'm here, look at me, deal with me. What if you didn't hide the rest of the world? What if you didn't fucking hide? What if you spoke out loud who you are? What if you shone like a star? That's what your being says. No matter whether you're at a Starbucks or you're singing on stage, that's what you're fucking doing. And it's so powerful. Right when I open your records, boy, howdy, it's like, pow, there's Amy. So anyway, that. Now, that's all I have for you there. What questions would you like to throw through to your guides, to your team, to the divine?
I had somebody a year ago also not tell me all of this, but said that they wanted to do this with me, and that the other, whatever that is, was trying to get to me, trying to connect to me in some way, shape, or form. And so I wasn't able to go through this process with her. And so I guess if it's possible to answer, why are they trying to connect with me at this moment? And she said, and maybe you feel this as well, Katie, that it was very strong. And it was literally 1 year ago, 3 weeks, in 3 weeks. It was around this time of year, a year ago.
Okay, let me listen in on that. So record keepers, Amy's team, were you in fact, yes, big yes, they were in fact trying to communicate with you. Was it all of these guys? No. Was it the Orion beings, the Sirian beings, the Pleiadians, the Sirians? Okay. Why? Okay. Okay. Because number one, They were providing a powerful activation for you. So that's the thing about star beings is they activate things. There's all these portals all over the planet, just portals of light that connect to star ships and star families and star nations. And when the ship connects with the original planet or the ship, I'm sorry, when the portal connects to the ship or the portal connects to the family or the nation, it creates a communication tunnel, you could say, between the Earth consciousness and the realms where these guys live. And the purpose of that is manyfold. It can be many things. But in this case, and what is regularly the case right now, is as we open these portals and connect, and in this case, you are the portal, okay? You're in part a Sirian light being. And as you awaken to your Sirian alignment, it literally lightens the earth and the people and the everything you come in contact with. It also raises the frequency of the planet, the earth, and the people on it just by you activating your alignment to the Sirian nation. So I guess my question that comes back is, like, at that time, did you go through any big transformation, shift, change, breakdown, breakthrough? Because usually when you get activated like that, if you're not aware that it's happening, or if that's just like not something in your world that you, maybe that cosmology doesn't mean anything to you, that'll show up in your 3D life, like moving, divorce, getting really sick, getting tons of energy, booking all kinds of jobs, losing all the jobs. Like, so was there any of that going on?
At that moment, my dad had just moved in maybe 3 weeks earlier after years and years and years of trying to find another space to live. And so he moved in with me. Also at that time, soon after that or soon before all that is when I was like, oh yeah, I should talk to that agent. I wonder if they're still interested in me. And that was around the time that I emailed them and was like, hey, I should have talked to you at the top of the pandemic. I'm talking to you now. And they right away signed me. So that happened at that point. Also at that point, I moved, as we all know, is here. We are dear friends. We are separated in the process of divorce, but that was back in 2019. At that time, I moved away to a friend's home for 3 months. And was there until January, and then in February moved where I am now. But that also may shift in the next few months. So all of, in some way, shape, or form, all of those things.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah. So the reason for the contact, can you give us more info on that? I'm just talking to them for a second. So the reason for the contact was like, if you're aware of it, right, and you actively choose to align energetically the frequency of your heart with the frequency of these beings or this energy that they make available to us, it can make the transition through 3D changes easier. Mm. So they were trying to be like, let's activate you and line you up so that, and by the way, they did activate you and line you up. It just wasn't conscious for you. That was a moment where it could have become a little more conscious. But again, when you get activated like that and you haven't been, usually things fall away or things come in or both, right? Because it's transformation. It's everything that needs to be gone is gone, and everything that needs to come in starts to come in. Can I clarify one thing? Are you with now married or not?
We are married, but we are not together. I have a different partner. I have a different partner at the time. Haven't done the paperwork, and that's it.
So you're in process with...
I'm in process.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Got it. Why do you guys ask that? Okay. Well, how audible is my voice right now to the rest of the people in the building?
Not at all. You're in my head, in my okay. headset.
Do you have any questions about that dynamic relationship, other relationships? And it's okay if not.
I do. I think my big worry, and probably part of why, is that deals with a little bit of mental illness. And so I worry a lot about how he will do if I am no longer in the picture.
Uh-huh.
that is probably my biggest heart heavy in my own heart that I feel heart heavy thing.
I see.
Yeah, that's the, that for me is probably at the top of all of the many things that are going on in the world, life, all of the stuff. That's up there.
All right. This is why I asked you a moment ago if he could hear us, basically, is because there's this really strong kind of awareness of the fact that, I don't want to use the word they're using, but it's time. There are a number of things, Amy, in your reality. You tend to hang on longer than you should after a thing is dead. Meaning, you know, it comes from empathy and it comes from care, but it comes from a little codependent enmeshment as well, and a little fear and a little control and family dynamics, such that it would really benefit, believe it or not, both of you, for you to really break the tether. Because sometimes, you know, people have to flail around a little bit in order to find something new to latch onto. So if you're always available, it's dragging you down, and it's, believe it or not, given you're soaring now, imagine how much you could soar, okay, if you weren't being dragged down by these relational dynamics. You're not, okay, the guilt is understandable, but it's not actually healthy or real. It's a, you know, one of my favorite things I've been learned in my life, you know, and that they bring through as a reminder for other people all the time is, oftentimes guilt is a withdrawal symptom from codependency. So you're a little enmeshed with someone, you break the enmeshment and you start to feel guilt. And the guilt should just be like a symbol. You should recognize the symbol as the feeling of guilt as a symbol that you are in detox from your enmeshment. And in the same way that if a heroin addict is shooting heroin and they start to detox on your couch and they start sweating and they start shaking and they see visions and they can't sleep, you wouldn't say to a heroin addict, yeah, just shoot up a few more times because you look really uncomfortable. Right? In fact, what you would say is, you're detoxing, you got this, drink some water, don't look back. That's a metaphor that might be useful in your, in that particular relationship and in some others in your life. Does that land, make sense, resonate?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions on that or anything else?
Nothing on that. I feel like that is answering questions that are at the forefront of my brain.
Cool. Okay. Yep. I'm going to give you the phrase they give me. It's a little unforgiving, okay? But
okay,
this is them talking. The phrase is dead weight.
Yeah.
And the question is it your job to carry dead weight around? Are you actually serving yourself, the collective, or the weight itself by carrying dead weight around? You know, and the answer is always no, because that it's actually enabling that person to not grow. And sometimes, you know this, sometimes in order to grow, you have to fall apart first. I can speak to that myself. Okay, cool. That's what they want to get through on that. All right, what else?
I feel so confident in saying that physically, in my physical location, I am where I am meant to be. But it's a question of, am I telling myself that, or is that an actuality? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's an actuality. Yeah, it's an actuality. What makes you wonder if you're telling it to yourself?
I feel like I have been in spots, like I was in the Bay for such a long time, and I was like, I'm supposed to be there, but I was always like, I need to be somewhere else. I need to be in New York. I need to be maybe in Chicago. Maybe I should be in LA. I'm answering this. I'm totally agreeing with all of this, but speaking through it is, I think in those moments, it was like, am I where I'm supposed to be? And I never truly believed that it was the actual truth that I was supposed to. I love the Bay. That was part of it too. I love the Bay. I love Ashland. But I never felt like the Bay was where I was supposed to be forever. I kind of feel like I am here in Ashland. Even if it's just my home spot. And even if forever is 5 years from now, it
for
just
sure.
feels like it is the place at the moment, but not the moment for a long moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big fat yes. And you know what? This actually has to do with this star being stuff because there's something about the land there that the land is very correct for you because there's a lot of connection to those, particularly the Orion and the Sirian and the Pleiadian, all of them. There's strong connections to those star alignments in that area. And the star, I'll tell you something, this is happening a lot right now. The star beings are like human beings that are star people are being pulled to where they are needed and pulled to where they need to be. They're they're feeling like, huh, home, finally. Or like zip, 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 home. Like they're getting pulled. So yeah, that's a big part of why it feels that way. There's a lot of frequencies there and alignments there. And you probably noticed this already, but there's a lot of spiritual people in that area. And a lot of them are this kind of spiritual. Yeah. And you know, they're also like, yeah, you can work anywhere. You can work in LA, you can work in New York, and you should pursue it if you're so called, you know? And home base for sure-sies. It's funny, the energy of the Bay Area, it's more like, talk about dead weight for you. Not like the Bay Area is dead weight, but like in your orbit, it was, you needed it for a time and then you didn't anymore. It was getting you ready almost. Okay. Yeah. What else?
I believe that. I don't know. I feel like so much was answered and clarified in my the conversation about partners and having not just that being dead weight, but other forms of it, clarified things that I had already been starting to
think and wonder about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, rock on. I think the last piece that they want to just bring through is like, and I have to tell you, I like don't want to close your records because it's so damn like alive and bright and shiny.
I've never seen Katie's eyes open this wide for this long.
It's so
weird.
Trippy. It's so weird. It's so weird. I know. I love it. Oh, is that going forward? Just think about, you know, you've got to understand, we need you untethered. Meaning the people you surround yourself with need to be vehicles of more expansion, more joy, more light, more in general, just more. And if you're around people who contract your field or who bring less, don't bother. You don't have time. There's no time for any of that. And, you know, watch out for that little bit of that Catholic, you know, savior complex, save the people guilt thing, because it'll you're someone, they're like, she's never gonna not do her shit, but at the same time you don't want to be dragging a boulder up the mountain of your life, because you're gonna be climbing to some high heights. You don't need those boulders anymore. And you're not serving them when you drag them behind you. You're keeping them enmeshed with you. And they don't need that. They need to fall down and fall apart and break open and become and find what they're finding. You understand. Okay. All right. Wow. All right, well, just because of time, I'm going to go ahead and close your records here. My gosh, thank you, Amy, for being here with us today. Mm-hmm. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return all of Amy Lizardo Ryan's energy to herself. I ask that you return Amy Lizardo Ryan to her complete human wholeness. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Amy Lizardo Ryan are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Amy Lizardo Ryan are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Amy Lizardo Ryan are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Last tiny little nugget, I always get a little extra something as the records are closing. Your time as a young person in the church was, and forgive me, I'm so not very well versed with different religious denominations, but Jesus is relevant in Catholicism, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I always forget, is that just the other Christians? Okay, so Jesus, from the perspective that I come from, is an ascended master, as is like Kuan Yin and the Buddha and everybody. And that time, it's like when your energy was pulling out of my field, it was like that time in your childhood was anchoring your heart into the alignment with that ascended master to give you the frequency of it so you would recognize it in other areas of your life. Mm. So it's cool to look at, you know, from this perspective, to look at like how everything, one thing leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing in the realm of the soul. It's all perfect. You know, we sometimes think, I think, like, since we have to recover from certain elements of religion, or we have to find ourselves again, we think like, oh, what was the value in that, or whatever. In your case, I think it's a little different, but point being, it's like so clear from here that that's what was happening, for whatever that's worth to you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that, yeah. Wow. Cool.
Well, geez, I thank you a ton. It was a treat and a delight. And
yay!
Thank you for being our last minute guest too.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Cass.
Thank you for revisiting a thing that I was first ever heard of a year ago.
I know, that's so cool.
That's so cool.
And
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm so happy. Like I was supposed to go back a month later and then I just didn't because of, you know, things that happen in our world, but I'm so glad that I got to see you. And hopefully this is my cousin, who's my dad's cousin, who's like my uncle cousin. Anyway, his wife, who had never met me, was like, I need to do this. I was like, okay. So I'm so glad to be able to revisit. And
cool.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to see your face. I miss your face, Amy.
Thank you for joining us, Amy. Yeah, good to see you.
I'm going to come up and see you in Ashland.
Yes. Oh, wait, are you going to come see Pericles?
Yeah, I'm also going to see Pericles.
Okay, well, yeah.
I'll see you there.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Take good care.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Bye.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. And clearly they have a relatively open dynamic on their communication around whatever they're going through. Because she was pretty like, I'm just going to say the words out loud here.
Oh, yeah, totally. And also, I love that we had no guest and we were like, what do we do? And I asked a bunch of people and they couldn't do it. And then ping, it worked easily with Amy. And that timing of a year ago, I mean, it's like they got to her through you.
They do.
And
like,
so cool.
When I'm looking for guests, sometimes I'll just go through like a list of my friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
She's never come up as an obvious guest to me. But when she came past my scroll, it was like, oh, there's no question.
Right.
That's who we call.
Ugh, I love it so much.
And she was on Messenger. I like Messenger. She got right back to me. It was like, okay, that was supposed to happen.
I always think that that's like ping, 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 ping. Things falling into place.
I love her. She's amazing. And she did put on a performance last year that was one of those that illustrated exactly what you were saying in this show called Mother Road that I saw up in Ashland, where I immediately called my dad and I was like, you have to see this play. I don't make my dad go see plays.
Huh.
Like, drive up to, I will get you tickets. And then Amy got them tickets. It was great. Her performance in that play destroyed, I mean, the other characters too, just destroyed me. But her, She was so shiny. That's the best word for it. It's like, oh, you're supposed to be doing this. This is one of those moments where you just see someone 100% playing the role they were meant to play in the space they were meant to do it in, shining that light you were talking, the don't hide light. It was amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So cool. Rock on. Well, I love you.
Love you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Do your work.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, friends of the podcast. How are you doing? How's it going for you? I hope all is well and shiny and bright, and deeply surrendered and aligned and in flow. Just a small request and desire I have for your soul. Hey, listen, if you're interested in getting some really deep activation, spiritual healing and alignment for yourself, getting clarity on your own spiritual path, and or clearing or healing anything you need cleared or healed from your body, being, soul, or spirit, join me for 3 days of star being and Christ-light healing, October 1, 2, and 3 in upstate Massachusetts, or you can join online. It's a 3-day retreat where we're gonna zap a ton of crap right on out of your system and align you with the light in a really powerful way. October 1, 2, and 3. For details, give me a little email and I will email you back with everything you need. KLRubin, R-U-B-I-N, at gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N, at gmail.com. Additionally, consider joining us for 2 weeks in Egypt, November 15th to the 26th. 2 weeks in Egypt, friends. We're going to go to the temples, we're going to go to the pyramids, we're going to go to the Sphinx, and we're going to be raising the vibrational field of the planet to lift the weight of the recent trauma that we've all been going through for the past year or two from the planet itself, from the collective, and from our own hearts. So this will be a ton of healing and also like rad travels on the Nile and an integration time for 2 days at a beach at the end in Egypt. Have you always wanted to go to Egypt? Well, you should go. Now's the time. Email me, klrubin at gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N at gmail.com.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod, @allanswerspod. Thank you.
It's just a lot of dick stuff happening right now. Just a lot of dick material. Everything you're saying is for dicks.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese.
We miss you, and we will be back with all new episodes next week.